The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Herbert W. Armstrong died peacefully at his home in Pasadena, California, on the morning of January 16, 1986. He was in his 94th year. In this special program, we review the life and work of Mr. Armstrong. For over 50 years, the voice of the world tomorrow.
Notice, there is an Elijah to come in this end time as a sign that Christ is about to return. Verse 11 reads, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias, or Elijah, truly shall first come and restore all things." This Elijah is going to restore all things. That means that most of God's truth has been lost in this end time. Did you realize that? Then God sends an Elijah, or a man, to restore His truth. This is a staggering prophecy. This all occurs just before the greatest event ever to occur in the universe, the return of Jesus Christ. I can tell you with all the authority of God that you urgently need to understand about this end time Elijah. What you know about this end time Elijah reveals whether or not you are Christ's disciple. A major key is to find the end time Elijah. Then we can know it's very close to Christ's return. You can know when it's getting close to His return. It need not be a mystery. God wants you to know this. God's own disciples knew when John the Baptist came and fulfilled the Elijah office. And God's own disciples will know when the end time Elijah comes. They'll know. And they shall escape the great and dreadful day of the Lord because they have that knowledge. But remember this, only God's true disciples will recognize this end time Elijah. Tragically, most people, even religious people, will not recognize him. John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. The end time Elijah was also a voice crying in the wilderness. What does that mean? Though we often don't like to believe it, it means there is much religious confusion in this world. That is why it is a voice crying in the wilderness. God's truth is being preached in the midst of religious confusion. That's what God means. That's why an end time Elijah must restore all things. That would not be necessary if much of God's truth had not been lost. The end time Elijah would have to be a man who believes in miracles. He would teach that God heals. The original Elijah demonstrated that again and again. This end time Elijah would believe in a God of miracles, and he would also demonstrate that faith by his works. Elijah knew God lived and he trusted God. Why do we mention this? Because an end time Elijah came in the same spirit. God says so. This end time Elijah would not come secretly as the original Elijah did not. God says that we should know Him and recognize Him in the end time. Do we? Did He come? God says we desperately need to know. Herbert W. Armstrong had, I believe, the strongest religious program on the air for decades, sending the message around the world. He was on over 400 television stations and had a magazine of over 8 million circulation. And he also met with, I think, more world leaders than any other political leader of the time. Mr. Armstrong, by many world leaders, was called an ambassador for world peace without portfolio. They sensed that this man was a man of peace and working himself to bring peace to this world and prophesying at a time in the very near future when we are going to have peace in this world. Herbert W. Armstrong died in 1986, and 2 years later, I went to a refresher or a ministerial conference. We called them refresher programs as well. In 1988, about 2 years later, and I presented a couple of ideas to the leader of the church, and those ideas didn't go over very well. But I did have one other idea I wanted to discuss with one of the three presenters of the television program at that time, and talk to them about, well, why didn't they talk about the prophecies that Herbert Armstrong had taught for over 50 years and show how they were being fulfilled? And I never did get around to discussing that with them. And I think it was probably just as well that I didn't, because I found a little later that they were getting just massively turning away from the teachings of Herbert W. Armstrong. But now we have a brand new booklet entitled He Was Right, which is about what I was interested in presenting to the television presenters at that time in 1988. So we have this new booklet, He Was Right. And I'm telling you, it shows how he was right for over 50 years in prophecies he made to this world and the message that went all around this world for many years. And it's one of the most amazing booklets you will ever be able to read in your life. And that's not an exaggeration. And the booklet is really just a sign of how close we are to the second coming of Jesus Christ to solve the problems of this mad, mad world.
That's a collection of clips, as you can see there. My father, of course, Blast from the Past, 1993, 2017, 2011, I think it was. And then, of course, the opening. That was from the special tribute, the Tribute World Tomorrow program, made back in January of 1986, announcing the death of Herbert W. Armstrong. Today represents a significant milestone for God's family. 40 years since the death of Herbert Armstrong, 40 years since Satan has been cast down to this earth, confined to this earth, as I've been discussing this week. And also 40 years, as you heard there from my father, 40 years of following in the steps of Herbert W. Armstrong. Some exciting history, miraculous history. And we'll talk a little bit about that on today's show. We appreciate you joining us on this special presentation of the Trumpet Daily, the 40-year anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death. You can get to the live video stream of this show at our website, thetrumpet.com. We have more than 55 minutes of material. We've got this week's World Watch segment, as I mentioned, I think, yesterday. We're going to conclude today's program with that World Tomorrow program, that tribute from 40 years ago. And in case I forget to say this when I set it up, you'll notice at the end of that tribute segment, it goes for about 26 minutes, but they take you through Mystery of the Ages, all the chapters of Mystery of the Ages. This book had just been produced, published in 1985, and they were hard at work trying to promote it. But even in that tribute program, when they take you through the chapters of Mystery of the Ages, you'll notice, if you're paying attention, that they don't show the chapter about Israel, the mystery of Israel. So already, Satan was planting the seeds of a great rebellion, a great falling away. These were some of the teachings that they threw away first. Our identity. It's in prophecy, if you don't understand the identity of Israel, then you're not going to understand a third of the Bible. They didn't have the courage. They didn't have the courage and the faith that Herbert Armstrong had to preach the truth, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word, and never mind if they don't want to receive it. Just boldly proclaim the truth of God. And that's what Herbert Armstrong did. For 50 plus years, And then my father has followed in this. Joe DeCotch Sr., the one who became pastor general after Mr. Armstrong died. Well, he was there. I think it was the funeral where he was praying that God would help him and help the worldwide church of God follow in the steps of Herbert Armstrong. Well, that didn't happen. What a betrayal. And we've written a lot about it in Raising the Ruins. You can get Mr. Armstrong's story in the autobiography. You can read his masterpiece, Mystery of the Ages. You can read the prophetic or the masterpiece on prophecy for our time in the United States and Britain in prophecy. You know, one of our ministers recently brought out the fact that for 100 years, Mr. Armstrong's conversion started back in the fall of 1926, 100 years ago. And since that time, I mean, God's people have been, really, we've been pretty spoiled with righteous leadership, a century of righteous leadership. First with Mr. Armstrong, the end time Elijah, as you heard my father saying there repeatedly, and we've had the same message for decades. Yeah, the Tekach people didn't follow in Mr. Armstrong's steps, but my father certainly did. And we have the fruits to prove it to you. Who is it that fought in court for 6 years so that we could give you Mr. Armstrong's final work, his greatest work, his most important work? That would be the Philadelphia Church of God. That would be my father. 40 years. I mean, we've had some trials and tests along the way, but 40 years also is a sign. There are many of them, in fact, a sign of God's presence. What you see behind me, I mean, that's like I was telling the freshmen this morning, this work, this campus, it's a miracle. Just a few thousand faithful supporters and that's it. And God has raised the ruins. Satan, as soon as he was cast down, he went to work to destroy the church, to blot out the truth, to burn and trash Herbert Armstrong's writings, his teachings. And he very nearly did it. Were it not for this work, this church, he would have pulled it off. We played some excerpts from Joe DeCotch Sr.'s sermon from the end of 1994. And all of our students, I mean, they're much too young to remember that history as it was playing out 30 years ago, 25 years ago. But they sat and they watched those excerpts and they saw how the devil deceived an entire church, inserting all these false doctrines. And it was subtle at the start. And they lied and they said, we're not really making any changes. And then they said later, well, we're making some changes, but only the ones Mr. Armstrong told us to make. So they put it on him. And then later, yeah, it was a fundamental transformation. And we're proud of it. And Herbert Armstrong's a heretic. Did you know that that happened in the span of like a decade? 10 years or so? I mean, when the devil was cast down to this earth, and when he went to work deceiving an entire church, I mean, it just shows how powerful that being is and how much, if we don't draw on the power of God and resist against the devil, our adversary, we're going to be devoured. And we heard at our conference recently this verse from Luke 1, verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There was an Elijah type in the first century. That was John the Baptist. And there was an Elijah type in this last century. That would be Herbert Armstrong. And it says there, that he came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. We need God's power. We need the God of Elijah guiding us, empowering us, strengthening us. And then you'll be blessed. And then you'll take on responsibility for God. And then you'll take on more responsibility. And the message will keep getting more and more powerful, stronger. I mean, here you look at some of the headlines of today, or just even all week. I mean, the subject has been Iran. I mean, Minneapolis is in there too, but Iran, and now more recently, Greenland, and the European Union moving into Greenland. And Russia's upset because Donald Trump is talking about taking Greenland. But really, you're hearing about the King of the North and the King of the South. And in many ways, the King of the North was the signature prophecy that Herbert Armstrong proclaimed for 30, 40, 50 years. And in a lot of ways, the King of the South, Iran, radical Islam, headed up by Iran, the religious extremists in Iran, that's been the signature prophecy of my fathers. And look at the headlines. Show that clip of Drudge this morning. And again, some of this may just be symbolic. Maybe it's, you know, but still, any excuse for Germany to rebuild the war machine. Greenland or tariffs. European troops arrive to defend against the USA. NATO fighter jets deployed. But, you know, that'll roll down in a couple hours. So what's the big deal that Germany's building a war machine or that Europe is drawing its line in the sand and doing who knows what behind closed doors with Russia? Russia wants Greenland too. I mean, you're seeing the major world powers maneuver in opposition, in large part, to Donald Trump. This is from just this morning as well. Another headline. Germany's Merz calls the nuclear phase out a serious strategic mistake. Says conservative leader criticizes previous governments for creating world's costliest energy transition. Merz has called Berlin's exit from nuclear energy a serious strategic mistake and criticized previous governments for hastily shutting down the country's last atomic reactors. So now Germany's going to be talking about rebuilding the atomic reactors. And why not? Why not? I mean, they're building a war machine. And who was it that boldly proclaimed the truth about that seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire? Well, that would be the end time Elijah. He came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. That was a significant development for this world, a highlight in human history, as my father brings out in this issue of the Trumpet magazine. You'll notice a pattern with some of these recent publications. There's the trumpet, here's the royal vision, here's the autobiography, and look who's on the cover of all of these. As if there's any doubt which church is following in the steps. We're here to tell you, we're here to remind you, we're here to keep it at the forefront of your thinking, the significance of this highlight in human history. I mean, we often study the lives of great individuals that impacted world history. We've got this great quote that we use in the Epistles of Paul class. And of course, this book, Coney Bear's textbook about Paul, is exactly that. And he tries to establish in the first chapters of his book just how momentous that ministry was, the Apostle Paul's. Coney Bear talks about some of the other figures of history. He says he lists them off, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, and just how much they impacted world history. And then Coney Bear says, these are colossal figures of history, which stamp with the impress of their personal greatness the centuries in which they lived. And we study them, even when we're deeply conscious that in their character and their work, evil is mixed up in large proportions with the good. A lot of evil. I mean, Napoleon was brutal and the way he made war. That was a resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, by the way. But like Coney Bear says, what if the study of a great man of history didn't have all that evil mixed in, but it was just a man of God, a righteous man? Okay, so he made some mistakes. He was battling against sin like we all are. But he was a devoted servant to God. And Herbert Armstrong traveled the world meeting with kings and prime ministers and all kinds of diplomats. He had a humanitarian work, again, that made its presence felt all over the world. He had Pasadena officials that loved what he did for their city with the auditorium and so on, and all of the concerts and the music programs. He impacted the world. And more than that, he impacted the church. He was a colossal figure in church history. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. My father writes in the latest trumpet, 40 years ago, one of the most consequential lives of the 20th century ended. That's a significant date for more reasons than one. I mean, as I've said, Satan the devil and his demon army cast down to this earth, and the world's never been the same. And now you've got the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, and they've got every excuse under the sun. Hey, we've got to battle Trump. Hey, NATO's going to split apart. Now there's Greenland. Mr. Armstrong was the most influential, prolific televangelist, educator, and religious leader of his day. In fact, God used him to fulfill several key Bible prophecies leading up to the return of Christ. It says, time will eventually show that Herbert Armstrong's life was a highlight of human history. That's in the latest Trumpet magazine. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you call our operators today and subscribe. And subscribe to the Royal Vision as well. Both of them. I mean, Royal Vision actually goes into greater detail about this colossal figure of history. I've often said just how much more simple the objective would have been. Once he died 40 years ago, if those Laodicean Christians would have just said, you know what? I'm staying with the God of Elijah. I'm following in the steps of Herbert Armstrong. Because then when those corrupt, rebellious ministers came along and said, you know what? We're actually changing what we believe and teach about the end time Elijah, about Mr. Armstrong's role and prophecy, and a lot of things that he taught as well. We're going to get rid of those. We're going to water them down first so it's subtle. People weren't grounded in the faith. They didn't love the truth. And so some man comes along, a man of sin, and tells them we're going to reject everything that he taught. And people just go along, I guess. We've got to stay. I took the students through a lot of parables from Jesus Christ. I mean, we just had a conservative commentator die recently. He was battling cancer, a nice enough guy. He had a comic strip and so on and so forth. And he never was a believer, he said. And really, judging by his final comments or remarks, he wasn't even a believer at the end. But he said, you know, I'll go ahead and accept Jesus Christ. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the next phase. Well, there's a lot of people online that were just rejoicing. He was saved on the deathbed at the last minute. This is a victory for Christ. And you just go through one parable after another parable after another parable where God talks about producing and the farming process. He's harvesting souls, and it takes time. You see it in the farm when there's, you know, you're tilling the ground, you're preparing it for the seeds, and then the seeds take root, and then the sprout comes forth, and then it's the very end of the process where it starts producing fruit. And that's the usable, edible part of the plant or the tree. And that's what God's interested in. Read John 15. That's how you bring glory to God. By a long life of producing fruit. Now, everyone dies at different times. We don't know when our time's going to be up physically. But for as long as we hear, I read a quote by Mr. Armstrong this morning where he said, if your number one goal or pursuit in life is something other than supporting God and his work, you're wasting your time. Our time is precious. And we want to be giving it to God. We want to be serving God. Well, in the case of the end time Elijah, you've got fruits of a life of service and sacrifice. Then you've got fruits following after that. As God raised up the ruins, the work continues. And following those steps, I mean, it just does simplify the formula for us greatly. I mean, we can look at those steps. We can look at that example. We can look at the auditorium that Mr. Armstrong built. We can look at the programs that he had. We can look at the magazines he produced. We can look at the books he wrote. We can look at his lifestyle. We can look at the colleges he raised up and say, okay, that's the direction we're going in. Those are the steps that we're following. And God has blessed it. Last night we had a Celtic Throne performance in Milwaukee. I think 900 people were there. And there's going to be 1,100, at least by now, there's 1,200 that are going to be there for Minneapolis on Sunday. Lots of people turning out to see Celtic Throne. You can go to CelticThrone.com to get the information you need about securing tickets for any of the remaining shows. But the director of the show, Brad McDonald, he pointed out last night to all the performers that, you know, we haven't had a production like this or a performance like this on the eve of January 16th. And this is what he said backstage, clip 8.
It's a really special show. It's kind of awesome to be dancing on the eve of January the 16th. I didn't go back and look. But I think this is the first time we've danced on January the 16th, basically, in Australia and other parts of the world, Jerusalem. It is January the 16th. So dance in the spirit of Herbert Armstrong. Dance in the spirit and power of Elijah. I want you to dance tonight as if Mr. Armstrong was in the audience. One day he will be. I've just been thinking about this, and then you think about, well, wow, Mr. Armstrong's going to be resurrected, and what if he asks, like, hey, I want to see a Celtic Throne show. You know, I've always wanted to be a fly on the wall of Gerald Flurry and Herbert Armstrong talking to each other. Like, what a conversation that's going to be. And then, you know, part of that, Mr. Flurry will be like, well, yeah, we created a dance show. The first one revolved around your book, The United States of Britain Prophecy. Then Mr. Armstrong will be like, well, I'd really like to see that. So then Mr. Flurry will be like, well, let's put on a dance show. So we go and we're going to perform for Mr. Armstrong. And then that makes you think, well, if Mr. Armstrong's going to be there, well, then all the prophets going to be there. Ezekiel and Jeremiah, King David. I mean, we're part of something really, really epic here. So dance with a sense of history tonight. Dance with that legacy and heritage in mind. It's not just another show. This is not just another production, another musical, another Irish dance show. There's just something really, really special about this. And then you look at Mr. Armstrong and his legacy, you listen to his sermons from the 1980s, and there is as much passion and excitement and energy as there was in his messages from the 1950s. He only got stronger. He only spoke with more power and energy. The older he got, it never got old. And what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
He was relying on God for strength.
Yeah, it was coming from God. Because humanly, we get old. The only way you can sustain and grow in power 30% year after year is through the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's what we have to do. That's the challenge for tonight.
The spirit and the power of Elijah. What an example. We truly are part of something epic, as he noted there. This colossal figure of history. I mean, a highlight in human history. What an honor it is to be able to carry on doing the same work, even adding to it, like you see in Celtic Throne. Here we are on the 40th anniversary. My father says in the January 16 booklet, again and again, God is calling our attention back to the pivotal date of January 16th. He's performed so many miracles on this date, and so many of the most tragic curses on Israel have happened on this date as well. As you watch this tribute program from 1986, I mean, just keep in mind what's headlining the news at the moment. This is from the Sun, I think it is, over in the UK. NATO is weighing up sending fighter jets to Greenland as European allies continue to bolster the Danish island's defenses. Moscow has condemned Donald Trump's rhetoric on seizing the territory while also blasting Western claims that Russia or China pose a threat to the mineral-rich island. I think we'll just squeeze it in. We're going to go longer on this show, but keep in mind, we're not going to charge you for any of the extra minutes. But we had this montage on Greenland and just some of the things that President Trump has been saying of late. And let's just play that now.
Germany has announced it will send troops to Greenland for the first time, along with other European countries. It's part of measures to boost defense on the Arctic island, as U.S. President Donald Trump insists the Danish territory is essential for U.S. national security.
Denmark is increasing its military presence in and around Greenland, with troops from Germany and other European nations. A Danish troop transport plane landed at Greenland's capital Nuuk overnight. The arrival of troops is said to be in support of military exercises, but it comes as Donald Trump justifies calls for a U.S. takeover of the territory.
A failed attempt to turn down the temperature in Washington. The foreign ministers of Greenland and Denmark were unable to convince U.S. officials to back down on their plans for Greenland.
We had what I will describe as a frank but also constructive discussion. The discussions focused on how to ensure the long-term security in Greenland. And here our perspectives continue to differ, I must say. The president has made his view clear, and we have a different position. And we therefore still have a fundamental disagreement, but we also agree to disagree. And therefore we will, however, continue to talk.
It's pretty clear there that the Danish and Greenlandic foreign ministers did not manage to persuade the Trump administration to change their minds. So how worried is the EU now about what is likely to happen next?
Yeah, there's a multitude of worries in Europe about what this means for the European Union, also what it means for the NATO military alliance if the United States were to annex one of its allies' territories. It would be very, very complicated. Now, we heard from the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. She said that Europe should make itself a military powerhouse and that would be part of securing the defence structures that Europe needs in order to prevent this kind of situation with Donald Trump.
Trump's concerns about Greenland's vulnerability has caused Denmark to boost the number of its troops in and around the Arctic territory.
This means that from today and for the near future, there will be an increased military presence in and around Greenland, involving aircraft, ships and soldiers, including those from other NATO allies.
Germany, France, Norway and Sweden say that they will also be sending troops to Greenland to beef up security.
What we're seeing with this is a real shift. On top of the Russia's invasion of Ukraine that has sort of really hypercharged this, we're now seeing this situation create a new context where Europe is starting to say, right, we need to seriously remilitarize now and even do it within an EU context.
There you go. You think they're sending troops there or establishing more of a presence there in support of Donald Trump or in opposition to him? I mean, it's perfect. I mean, you got Putin on the one side and you got Trump on the orange Hitler's on the other side. Any excuse to rebuild the war machine? I mean, the shift here is what we want to concentrate on. This is Jeroboam's administration, the United States, going head to head with the king of the North. And then meanwhile, the king of the South. It's been making headlines for the last 2 weeks. This was from the Trumpet earlier today. I think it might have been in the Trumpet brief. Several stories are out that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asked the United States to delay or halt any attacks on Iran. The reports say the reason was that Israel is unprepared to handle an Iranian counterattack on its homeland. I mean, the stakes are, they're high here. While Netanyahu may have asked the U.S. to reconsider strikes, it's unlikely the reason was unpreparedness. Israel has spent the past 6 months since Iran's most recent ballistic missile attacks bracing itself for another round. So we don't know all the ins and outs. An interesting twist if this time it's Bibi restraining Trump and not Trump restraining Bibi. Do the mullahs survive yet another uprising? Do they get through this stronger than ever? We'll see, but I mean, prophecy is going to unfold in one way or another, according to the framework that God's put in the scriptures. These two signature prophecies, the king of the North and the king of the South. And then, you know, Manasseh factors in, so does Ephraim, and of course, Russia and China. All the players, I mean, they're taking shape right before our eyes. 100 years, not just of righteous leadership for God's people, 100 years of accurate forecasting based on the Bible. He was right. Tomorrow's news, today, we'll break up the show with the tribute program with this week's installment of World Watch. After that, you've got the 26-minute production, The World Tomorrow, from late January of 1986, following the death of Herbert Armstrong. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll take it away with World Watch.
Summit in Paris, January 6th, a coalition of the willing of mainly European nations pledged to guarantee Ukraine security in the event of a ceasefire with Russia. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz indicated that Germany could contribute to multinational forces monitoring a ceasefire in Ukraine with troops based in neighboring territory. He added that for now, Germany is not ruling anything out. In light of the U.S. president's threats to seize Greenland, Merz, along with the leaders of Denmark, Italy, Poland, Spain, and the UK, signed a joint statement that reads, "It is for Denmark and Greenland, and them only, to decide on matters concerning Denmark and Greenland." The British Guardian called it a rare European rebuke to the White House. Germany is by far the largest military spender in Europe. Revelation 17 prophesies that Germany will lead a European military unification. The Bible refers to this emerging empire as a beast, and it is prophesied to destroy many nations. To learn more, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, "Germany is Arming for World War III." After more than 25 years of negotiations, a massive trade agreement between the European Union and four South American countries overcame one of its final obstacles on January 9th. Representatives from 21 of the EU's 27 nations voted to pass the EU-Mercosur Partnership Agreement, a big step toward creating a new trade zone comprising more than 700 million people, the largest of its kind on Earth. This interim trade agreement is just part of a much wider partnership the EU and Mercosur are developing. The full EU-Mercosur Partnership Agreement will require unanimous consent from all 27 member nations of the EU and ratification by more than 30 national parliaments. The agreement must still be approved by the European Parliament and the four South American national parliaments of Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, and Paraguay. This agreement will not only bind EU nations further into a common policy, but also help the EU diversify away from trade with the US and China. It is particularly relevant considering President Trump's efforts to align Latin America with the U.S. To learn the long-term consequences of Europe's deepening connections with Latin America, read "America is being besieged economically." Israel and Syria restarted U.S.-brokered security talks on January 5th and 6th in Paris, the first time in almost half a year. Israel and Syria agreed to a dedicated communication cell, or intelligence-sharing network, as a forum to de-escalate military conflict. This was the first time Israel had sent civilian representatives, as opposed to military, to speak with the new regime. But according to Bible prophecy, the outcome will not be what Israel and the U.S. hope. Syria's current government, led by President Ahmed al-Shara, is run by rebels formerly tied to al-Qaeda. Many major events like the massacres of religious minorities last year suggest the government is still influenced by its old ideology. Nevertheless, the U.S. has done everything it can to reintegrate Syria into the international community. This includes pressuring Israel to make deals like this one, which the U.S. openly states it hopes will lead to full normalization. Prophecy shows that a friendly relationship between Israel and Syria will not last. To understand more, read Deadly Flaw in Mideast Peace Deals. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Herbert W. Armstrong died peacefully at his home in Pasadena, California, on the morning of January 16, 1986. He was in his 94th year. In this special program, we review the life and work of Mr. Armstrong. For over 50 years, the voice of the world tomorrow. The following is a special presentation of The World Tomorrow. The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong has always been a unique program, showing the relevance of the Word of God to today's turbulent society. It explains the real cause of the troubles of this world and the promise revealed in the Bible of a better world tomorrow. For over 50 years, Mr. Armstrong delivered this message of hope on television and radio stations around the world. The World Tomorrow program is seen and heard on over 350 stations throughout the United States, Canada, Europe, Australia, Asia, and the Caribbean islands. Subtitled versions of the program can be seen in France, Canada, Italy, and Scandinavia. It is planned to make the program available in several other languages. Herbert W. Armstrong was one of the pioneers of religious broadcasting. His voice was first heard on the air in 1933 when he was offered 15 minutes of airtime on station KORE, then broadcasting with only 100 watts to the towns and villages of the Willamette Valley in Oregon. In later years, Mr. Armstrong would often reminisce about his early experiences in broadcasting.
Then, in October 1933, I had an opportunity to go on the local radio station five mornings for 15 minutes. It was free time, and they couldn't get ministers in local churches to take the time, and so I was able to get it, and of course I didn't have to pay for it. Now, that led to the radio church. There was quite a lot of mail coming in, and the manager of the station asked me then to start a regular Sunday program. And so the church went on the air, and I did the speaking. And on the first Sunday in 1934, we went on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and the cost was $2.50 a week, and I only had the money pledged from the brethren for $1.25 a week. And I had to take the rest of it on faith. That was the beginning of the what we call then the Radio Church of God. February 1st, the Plain Truth came out with its first issue, mimeographed. Only about 350 copies were made.
Although Mr. Armstrong did not realize it then, those first broadcasts and the first mimeographed copies of the Plain Truth magazine were the beginning of what was to become a worldwide work to fulfill the great commission that Jesus Christ gave his church. Mr. Armstrong himself wrote in his autobiography, "At last, in the light of fast-developing world-encircling events, it became apparent what was actually happening back in 1934 was precisely this. Jesus Christ was opening the gigantic mass media door of radio and the printing press for the proclaiming of his same original gospel to all the world."
Today, my friends, we are in the time as foretold by Jesus when he said that this is the beginning of sorrows, just the beginning of trouble and of sorrows in the world today. And so again today, my friends, I want you to notice first Jesus' Olivet prophecy found in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 24.
It was a small and humble beginning, but like the proverbial grain of mustard seed, the work was destined to grow. By 1944, the World Tomorrow radio program could be heard throughout the United States. In 1953, it went on the most powerful station on Earth at that time, Radio Luxembourg, broadcasting to the British Isles and the continent of Europe.
The World Tomorrow.
The World Tomorrow first became a television program in 1955, when television was a relatively new medium.
Broadcaster and editor Herbert W. Armstrong reveals the startling significance behind today's world trouble. With the prophecies of the world tomorrow, when wild animals shall be tame, a lion and a lamb playing together, and a little child leading them in a world of peace at last. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Armstrong.
Well, greetings, friends. The real significance behind today's world disturbances is simply this, that we're now near world peace, believe it or not.
Later, Mr. Armstrong was to make many telecasts from the studio of The World Tomorrow in Pasadena, powerfully proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If Jesus Christ were here today, he would preach the same thing that you hear me preach. Look into your Bible. Don't believe me. Look into your own Bible, and you'll see that everything that I'm telling you comes right out of the Bible. It is God speaking, and it is the very message of God.
As the World Tomorrow program began to be heard worldwide, the plain truth circulation also began to grow, first in thousands and then in millions. The plain truth is unique among the world's mass circulation magazines, carefully analyzing the real meaning behind the news of the day, foretelling trends in world events with an accuracy that is based on the prophecies of the Bible. New languages were added over the years: German, French, Spanish, Dutch, Italian, and Norwegian. Today, the plain truth has a circulation of 8 million, with readers in nearly every country on Earth. Mr. Armstrong remained active as editor-in-chief until the end of his life. He was present at the printing plant of R.R. Donnelly in Glasgow, Kentucky, when the 50th anniversary edition of The Plain Truth rolled off the presses. This 50th anniversary edition is still sent as an introductory copy to all new subscribers. In 1967, a remarkable door was opened for Mr. Armstrong to begin to reach some of the most important and influential men and women in the world. For almost 20 years, Mr. Armstrong traveled thousands of miles, meeting with kings, emperors, presidents, prime ministers, and leaders of many nations. The walls of his study are lined with mementos of those visits, gifts from the leaders of nations great and small.
I probably have visited more heads of government in their own offices than any other man. What do I talk about? I talk about the conditions that they're confronted with. I talk about world conditions and problems, problems that are far greater than they themselves are able to cope with. I talk about the cause of these conditions. I go as an ambassador, an unofficial ambassador for world peace. and they received me as an ambassador for world peace. But I have to tell them why we don't have peace. I have to show them how peace is going to come and why we don't have it. And you know, that makes sense to heads of state. They're practical men. They see these things about them all the time. And they begin to listen when I talk about those things. Do I talk about the kingdom of God? Yes, I do. And God is going to intervene. And sometimes I tell them that straight out. They've called me an unofficial ambassador for world peace. And so I am. But let me say that there has to be a reason why we don't have peace. And you cannot have peace until there is something that will cause that peace. And there has to be a reason why something has caused us to have just the opposite of peace in this world today. And I'm afraid so many don't understand that. Now, in the world today, there are many different ideologies and philosophies and religions, and everybody seems to think that their own, of course, is the right one and the only one that is true and correct. And I did not come to bring any religion or philosophy or ideology, but just to state a few facts that are facts. We do not have peace and will not have peace until human nature has been changed.
Mr. Armstrong was able to view the 20th century from a unique perspective. In his long life, he saw the coming of the inventions that made possible this modern age. The airplane, radio, and television, the computer, and space travel. Inventions that have changed our world, but not our thinking. In August 1914, Europe erupted in war. For four terrible years, the great powers battled each other until they reached a standstill in the fields of France and Belgium. When the conflict was over and the armistice signed, a generation of young men had been slaughtered. The world was sobered. Weapons had become so powerful, the destruction so complete. Surely civilization could not survive another war like this. This had to be the war to end all wars. Following the armistice, King Albert I of Belgium visited a battlefield in his shattered kingdom. Appalled by the scenes of ruin and slaughter, the king ordered an iron shell casing found on the battlefield to be cast into four watch cases. He intended to present the watches to the four individuals who he felt had made the most significant contribution to peace. One watch went to Field Marshal Ferdinand Foch, head of the Allied Supreme Command. Another was given to General John J. Pershing, Commander-in-Chief of the American Expeditionary Force. The third watch was presented to France's Premier, Georges Clemenceau, for his inspiring leadership in the dark days of war. But King Albert did not find anyone qualified to receive the fourth watch. When King Albert died, it was passed on to his son, King Leopold III. In 1970, half a century after the end of World War I, King Leopold presented this fourth watch to Herbert W. Armstrong. In accepting it, Mr. Armstrong said, "I feel it was the highest honor the king could have paid anyone. Whatever contribution to world peace I may be making is not through war, but through education, teaching millions worldwide the way to peace."
The world has tried everything that man can conceive of for world peace. They have worked for world peace. They have fought for world peace. They have striven for world peace. But nothing has brought world peace. World War I was supposed to be the war that would end all wars. It didn't end wars. Then came World War II, and it was labeled as the war to end all wars. But as a matter of fact, more than 140 wars have occurred since the end of World War II. This book, the Holy Bible, says that the way of peace they know not. But men do not know the way to world peace. There has to be a cause for everything that has happened.
In these last decades of the 20th century, many philosophers, commentators, and newscasters see that the problems of the world have reached a crisis point. Many leaders have recognized that we may indeed be approaching Armageddon. Mr. Armstrong, through his understanding of biblical prophecy, grasped the true significance of these times. He has been a voice of sanity in the decades of confusion.
A staggering turn in world events is soon going to erupt that will astound the whole world. As a matter of fact, two absolutely unthinkable world events are going to occur in the approximate future. First, the unthinkable nuclear World War III that could wipe every man, woman, and child off the face of this earth, annihilate all civilization, is definitely going to come. But it will be stopped before any such fate finally happens. And then, just as unthinkable, is world peace an absolute utopia on Earth, and that too is definitely going to happen in the approximate future. The world is asleep. The world doesn't know what is about to strike. The world is going on as if things are going to continue just as they are. And I am warning you, they will not. There is only one authority that can tell us what is going to happen, that can give us the cause of what has happened and what will happen, so far as that is concerned, and that is the book we call the Holy Bible and its prophecies.
This is the commission that Jesus Christ gave to his church, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all the world before the end of the age, and the establishment of the kingdom of God, the coming time of world peace and happiness that Mr. Armstrong called the world tomorrow. That world tomorrow is not here yet, and so the work that God began through Herbert Armstrong will go on. This program will continue, and the Plain Truth magazine will continue as they have since 1934, dynamic, up-to-date, giving people around the world understanding with hope and reassurance of a better world tomorrow. Before his death, Mr. Armstrong appointed his deputy, Joseph W. Tkach, to succeed him as Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God. On the morning of January 16th, Mr. Tkach addressed the employees of the church assembled in the Ambassador Auditorium in Pasadena.
This undoubtedly is one of the most sobering occasions that we will experience in a lifetime. I'm sure we all dearly loved Mr. Armstrong. We are a product of his dedication and his service for all of these years, especially the last 53 years that he has dedicated himself to serving the great and living God. This is not a time, although it is sobering, but not a time for great grief, as those who are without knowledge or understanding the purpose of life and death. But we can rejoice knowing that Mr. Armstrong died in the faith doing the work that God has called him to accomplish. Even in the last year of his life, with declining strength, he completed probably the greatest work that he has accomplished in the book, The Mystery of the Ages.
Mystery of the Ages was originally written for the students at Ambassador College. In August 1985, Mr. Armstrong personally presented the new book to the students of the Fundamentals of Theology class. It would prove to be one of the last times he would speak in public.
When the Bible speaks, that is God speaking, not a man. Now, it's true, Moses wrote the first five books, but it wasn't really Moses writing it. God was having him write it, and it was God writing it, but that was really inspired. And then when we come to prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then when we come to the New Testament books, God inspired them. They are the infallible words of God. This book is not. I don't make any such claim for this book whatsoever. But I think in a way God inspired it, but not in the sense that it is the Word of God. It's as God inspired Herbert Armstrong. And I tried to yield myself to him, and I hope I was able to yield myself, if not 100%, 97%, 98%, 99%. The Bible is like a book that had been sort of cut up into about 2,000 or 3,000 pieces, and you have to get them all put together in the right order, or you can't understand them. This book puts them together. And yet this book is only a synopsis. You could say it's the gist of the Bible, the synopsis. It doesn't cover all of it, but it covers the main thread of the Bible so you can understand the Bible and understand the other details when you read them in the Bible. It'll open up the Bible so that you understand it. That's what it is for. Make the Bible plain and clear and understandable. And God is such a great God when you come to really know him and who and what he is and how real he is. And I want to say that you need to read every word and you need to go over it more than once. You aren't going to get the full meat of this book in one reading. This is a book that after you've read it, you can read it a second time and then later a third time. This book is not intended to take the place of the Bible. It's intended to make it so that you will understand the Bible. You must read the Bible with it. And this is to make the Bible clear and understanding to you as you read it and bring its meaning out as you never saw it before. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope you will enjoy it. It'll give you great happiness and enjoyment. I hope you'll enjoy reading it. And I hope more than any other book you've ever read except the Bible. And perhaps in a sense, this makes even the Bible more clear and plain, and you'll enjoy the Bible more from now on. Will you forgive me if I get a little bit of thrill that this was then done and this book is out now? Today's a pretty big day in my life, when I can hand the copies of this book out to each of you.
And now, in this special tribute to Herbert W. Armstrong, we are pleased to offer a free copy of Mystery of the Ages to our viewers. Time may prove Mystery of the Ages to be one of the most significant books ever written. There is a great paradox in our world today. In this 20th century, we have made incredible progress in nearly every field of knowledge, science, technology, medicine, transportation. But in spite of this progress, we still live in a world of appalling evils and suffering, famine, poverty, sickness, and war. Why is it, when knowledge is exploding, do we still not know the answers to the most fundamental questions? What is man? Why was he created? What is the purpose for human life? Or even, is there a purpose? Over 60 years ago, Herbert W. Armstrong was challenged to make an in-depth study of the Bible. He began to see that this book, so often misunderstood, did indeed contain answers. Over the years, he continued to study, developing a unique understanding of the questions that have always perplexed mankind. Mystery of the Ages is the product of that understanding, a labor of love, written in the last year of Mr. Armstrong's long and productive life. Mystery of the Ages will help you understand. Each chapter will give you the keys to solving some of the most perplexing questions that have puzzled scholars and philosophers for thousands of years. You will see that the answers have been there all the time, hidden in the pages of the Bible. Mystery of the Ages will help you understand your Bible as never before. Who is God? What is He like? What is the truth about angels and evil spirits? Did God create a devil? And then, one of the greatest mysteries of all time, what is man? And how did he come to be on the earth? Did he evolve, or was he created? And if he was created, why? What is the purpose of his existence? Or is there indeed any purpose? How did this world come to be the way it is? Are wars, famines, disasters, and poverty inevitable? Or is there a fundamental reason why things are going wrong? What is the church? Why are there so many different religions, all claiming to be true? How can you tell if a church is right or not? Or does it even matter? Finally, the mystery of the kingdom of God. What is it? Is it in heaven or on the earth? Or is it, as some believe, set up in our hearts when we accept Christ? Mr. Armstrong devoted his life to understanding these mysteries. He wrote Mystery of the Ages to share that understanding with others. In this special tribute to his life and work, we would like to offer Mystery of the Ages to all our viewers.